We are have been talking about keeping a quiet time. Keeping a quiet time, part two, a meditative psalm, 143, 8 to 10. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies.
I flee unto thee, or hide me with thee. I love that idea, hiding with him. He's just kind of taking us in, hiding with him. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. We were talking about what is a quiet time last time. Tonight we want to talk about a couple of things. One is when to have a quiet time. This is not demanded from Scripture at all, but you need to plan a quiet time every day. By planning it, I mean it may not work out, but schedules are subject to emergency differences. But you ought to plan a quiet time every day. Then keep at it until it becomes habit. Generally, we need to do something every day for 2 or 3 weeks before it becomes a habit. Then it feels like you ought to be doing that. Remember that if you miss a day, you're not to give up in disgrace. Just take it up again the next day. You think about it, 3 or 4 days a week are much better than none at all. So you just do it as often as you can. Choose a general time of day. It doesn't have to be to the minute, but choose a general time of the day that will help you establish your habit. My situation now is that it's usually after my wife leaves for work, and I'm left alone at the house. That's a good time. Whatever time that happens to be, that's a good time. The author of the longest psalm kept several prayer times, Psalm 119, 164. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. I'm saying that praise and prayer are the same. Perhaps you could work it out. 7 times during your awaking hours, divide it out and say, this is the time that I will praise God for who he is and what he's done. But he did that 7 times. Because of thy righteous judgments. Daniel, you remember, was dedicated to his quiet time practice. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, forbidding this, he went into his house, his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. They actually passed that law because of him. He did not keep his devotions a secret. Verse 13, then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. To me, the most instructive person in the New Testament is Jesus Christ himself concerning this thing of prayer. Here he is, the perfect man, Son of God, and he felt it was absolutely important to spend prayer time alone with God. Mark 1:35, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. As busy as he was, they kept him up often very late at night healing and all this. You can just imagine. People had traveled and wanted to be the last one in, make sure they got it done. But rather than stay in bed and get what surely would have been a well-deserved rest, he said, I've got to get things taken care of in prayer. How do you think about your quiet time? Well, if you think of it as something I have to do, it takes time away from my important duties, but I've got to do it anyway. You're working against yourself. Think of your daily quiet time as an oasis of warm fellowship with your loving Father in a dry land of coldness and apathy. This is your harbor. This is your oasis to have a life that really means something. So when? Well, choose a time that fits you, and then plan to do that every day. Then I want to talk to you about improving your quiet time. And while having it at a certain time is absolutely essential if you're going to have a quiet time, improving your quiet time are secondary issues, but it makes it better. And if you have the opportunity to do this, then you should. So one idea, choose a place. It's best to have a regular place to meet with God. Matthew 6:6, Jesus said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet," a small room, a separate place. "And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." The idea of the closet with the shut door was opposite those who were praying out loud on the street corners, make sure everybody knew they were praying. We're the godly ones doing this. He said, you do it in secret. What happens is this, that the place becomes a part of the process of getting your heart and mind ready to listen to God. As you get to that place, as you open the Word of God, as you get on your knees, as you do whatever you're doing, you do that day by day by day. Actually, coming to that place is like getting an appointment with God. This is where you meet Him. And everything kind of falls into place. You come to that place at that time, and this is what you do. So the place becomes part of the process of getting your heart and mind ready to listen to God, and you can keep your materials there and find them easily, the materials we'll talk about. The place should be quiet and secluded if possible. On the other hand, we were raising children. I've used a certain chair in the living room as my place. And it was sort of the signal to my wife. I had the Bible and sitting on the chair, that if she could avoid asking me to do things, then that would be a good time for her to do that. The most important, that the place be the same, that you conscientiously come to that place to meet with God. So then what about the materials? Well, keep a journal. Find a legal pad or a spiral notebook. Keep it on hand to record the things you learn in your devotions. We talked about finding the promises, finding the commands, finding the sins. Jot these things down. Practice recording your thoughts so you can review them later for yourself or share them with friends. Do not be deceived into thinking that you will always remember the things God is teaching you. You will not. It will pass. It will just leave you. These little notebooks become something of a treasure chest of blessings that you've learned from God. So keep a journal, diary, whatever you want to call it. Then also keep a prayer list. Now, I say let God lead you in making a prayer list. What I mean by that is you know your time, you know what you can put together, you know what's available to you. So make a decision, but don't hold back because you doubt yourself. Give God the benefit of the doubt in making your prayer list. But here's the thing. Do not have a list so long that it defeats you. You know, if you pull it out and it goes like this and you go, I don't have time for this, then the list is too long. On the other hand, I know people who have an immense prayer list, but what they've done is that they have divided the month into 4 weeks, and then they divide the prayer list for that week into 7 parts for the 7 days. or 5 days or whatever it is. So some people divide their list into 7 parts, pray through it every week. Others keep the list only for a week or so and toss it out and make a new one. And what this does, of course, it keeps you current. But before you throw the old one away, find out if there's something you've been praying for and you haven't got an answer yet. Maybe jot that one down to keep it up, continue it. But the important part is remembering the names and the causes for which you promised to pray. I've got to the place now when somebody says, well, pray for me. I said, yes, I will. And as I leave them, I pray for them, so that if I never remember them again, I have prayed for them. And it's not like just mumble their name so that you can say you prayed for them. I actually pray. Sometimes that sets it in my thinking, and I do remember them when I'm praying elsewhere. But it's important, if you say you're going to pray for someone, to actually do that. They ask for prayer because it was important to them. So keep the lists and jot down when the prayers are answered. I encourage you to do that because this becomes a powerful tool in building your faith. To have a list of things that God has done. Over a period of time, you begin to say, you know, that can't be coincidence. This is actually God doing what I ask. It's a great blessing. And encouragement. A couple of other things. Memorize scripture for meditation. This is outside the quiet time, but during the quiet time, you can perhaps take some time to memorize some scripture. Choose a favorite verse from your reading to memorize. Usually doesn't take that long. The way I memorize a verse is that I read it, saying it out loud 5 times. Then I look up from my Bible, and I try to say it, and I see how far I get, and then I have to look down and get the next word and so on and do that. Then that's sort of the test, and then I say it out loud with helps as I must another 5 times, and I just keep doing that until I can say it. Now I have something tucked away in my head that any time the rest of the day that I want it, it's there. So memorize scripture. I said a verse here. Of course, it could be a passage. I have taken the challenge from time to time to memorize a chapter. Romans chapter 6, an amazing passage to memorize. Then what do you do with it? Well, why memorize? Deuteronomy 6:7 says this, "Thou shalt teach," the King James margin says, the Hebrew here is to whet or sharpen. I like that idea. You're sharpening yourself. "You shall teach them," these principles, these verses, "diligently unto thy children, and talk of them 4 places, 4 times. 1, when thou sittest in thine house. 2, when thou walkest by the way. 3, when thou liest down. And 4, when thou risest up." Well, match that with your day, and you'll see that means that you can pull up that memorized verse and meditate on it when you spend time waiting, sitting by your house or sitting at the doctor's office or whatever. You can sit there and watch the inane TV that they have going, or watch the commercials go by on their advertisements, or you could actually meditate on Holy Scripture. A time when you don't need, you know, you're not doing brain surgery at the moment, you're just sitting and waiting. Then, when thou walkest by the way, as you travel from place to place, your brain should be involved while you're driving or while you're walking. But it's not the meditative consciousness. You can involve that. Bring up that memory verse. Let your peripheral vision and your subconscious, you know, guide you to where you're going. You know how to get there. Consciously meditate on the scripture as you travel from place to place. Thirdly, when thou liest down, there's a time when you go to bed at night, you are getting ready for bed. You don't have to think about that very much. Brushing your teeth, combing your hair, shaving the long hairs out of your ear, whatever you do, and then laying down to bed before you go to sleep. What a great thing at the end of the day to memorize, to bring up memorized scriptures. Chew on it for a while. Meditate on it. So that the last real thoughts of the day are the things of God. That feeds that into your mind, and you spend some special time then at night with your brain organizing all that into your way of thinking. People have said that it's influenced their dreams after a while. That can't be a bad thing. Instead of the horror movie you were watching, you know, make it a scripture you're memorizing. And then the fourth one was when thou risest up. And there's a whole process of getting ready in the morning where you don't have to make deep decisions, you know, think about what you're going to wear, but putting it all on, getting it all together, brushing your teeth, doing all these other things as you get ready in the morning. So what is meditating? Well, meditating is thinking about the importance of every main word in the verse. Every important word, every main word. Ask yourself, why did he say that instead of something else? I've noticed that Brother Jeb and I both have been talking to you about verses where we said, you know what, the natural thing we would expect in this verse would be this. But he doesn't say that. That's the process of meditation. When you say, why did he say that word, we would have expected something else. You know, the first time that ever happened to me, I was meditating on Romans 3 when he says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I thought, glory of God? You'd think that sin comes short of God's law. Now that makes coming short of the glory of God all the more significant. So you dwell on that. You think about that. You ask yourself, why would he say that? And then finally, while you're, what other materials? Well, use reference material. Have something there. If you have a study Bible, that's good. If you have other references, that's fine. But graduate from light devotional books. People, you know, kind of a frothy things, talking about, think about God, think about angels, whatever. They have good thoughts. But graduate out of that to heavier books of history, of scripture history, or the history of the stories of scripture. And language, and then use your Strong's Concordance to look up meanings of important words. The Strong's Concordance is not an American dictionary, though that would be one of the resources to use, but it is actually your resource to the meaning of the word in the Hebrew or in the Greek. And you look up the word, see a number beside it, and then go to the back and look up. If it's New Testament, you go to the Greek. If it's Old Testament, you go to the Hebrew. You look up that number, and you see the word, and you see how it's used. So now you have insight into the actual original language. And that's the meaning that you ought to have as you're meditating on those words. Comments or questions on improving your quiet time, choosing the place, keeping a journal, prayer list, memorizing, and then meditating. As you have time, doing those things will greatly improve your quiet time, and it will be a mark of your growth. Thank you.